go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 111 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Maui is with us again for episode 111, still in the studio, still have his fur permeating throughout the studio. I would say it's snowing golden retriever fur, but it's floating in the air magically. First of all, yes, this is episode 111. I do have the correct number. Got the last episode wrong with the number there, but we were back on track. I was editing that episode 110, and I realized my posture is it's horrendous. It's to the point where it should be called out in public. A stranger seeing me seated like this should go, "Hey, who are you?" And I go, "I'm the B-Man. Nice to meet you. Who are you?" Go, "Oh, a B-Man, you need to sit more upright, because if you don't, you're going to get scoliosis. You're going to lose 2 inches of height. No one's ever going to want to be with you. You're not going to be able to make eye contact with anybody because your head's going to be down here instead of up here." And it's so... edit the videos I make, I try to edit them, and all I do is point out flaws in myself physically. I don't, anybody who has confidence, it's bewildering to me. I don't, literally, every morning I get up, I have a robe that I stole from a hotel. And so yeah, I put the robe on when I go to the bathroom. When I go to the shower, I take it off. And I'm at the point now where I avoid, or at least I try to avoid making eye contact with myself in the mirror, because I don't want to see what's in that mirror. I do not want to see my body. If you could see my chest, want me to show you my chest, okay? It's hairy. It's very, my chest is very Chevy Chase 1970s. It's hairy. It's pale. There's moles. I have a very full chest of hair, but I do, like on the belly, on the sides, there are these random little islands of hair, and there are freckles, and there are moles, and every morning I wake up, there's always lint in my belly button. Do not know how it gets there. Every morning, there's a new piece of lint in my belly button, and I find it on the bottom of the shower. I'm like, "Oh, once again, the lint monster got me." But I look at my face, and I've had cysts that I've had to have removed, so there are little marks of that. And I've had bigger cysts that I popped, so there are, you know, marks from that. And then I'm getting those old person skin marks on my face. I'm like, I'm not old. I'm 40. I'm spry. I'm still living. I still get midday bulges when I'm not even horny. Like I'm here. I'm present. But I look in the mirror, the hairline, I do that thing now, and those of us who are balding, you know, where you kind of do that thing where you're looking down, right? And I'm looking at the camera and now doing it, where like, wait, am I balding right here? Like I have hair here, but I shave it every week. But is that getting, you know, is it starting to form? Is there an opening here forming? Am I getting a climate change right here? And I'm always looking at my ear hair and my nose. I'm like, do my nostrils go out a little bit more than they should? And then I look at my hands, because I don't bite my nails, but I pick my nails. So I'll pick it, and they're all, like, they're not smooth. And right after I pick them, they're kind of sharp. So I'm like, is there any babe out there? Honestly, if I finger pop a babe after picking my nails, that might be a sexual crime, because it's going to cut her. And then I also, my hands are dry, and there's no calluses, because I don't do anything worthwhile to make money with my hands. I don't make anything. Yeah, you know, look at my thighs when I'm on the, you know, when I'm on the toilet in the morning and my thighs are, you know, I have chicken legs. There's no muscle, no, there's no definition other than my bony kneecaps. And I look at my feet and my big toe, and they're, and then I have a part of my shin has no hair because I wear tight pants because I don't like the new baggy pant style because it reminds me of the late 90s, like new metal, you know, skateboarder. So I don't, I there's no way I'm ever going back to that. That fashion. So I still wear tight pants. So it presses up against my shin so I don't have some hair right here, random bald spots. And then I look at it, like, oh, I got the little wrinkles going on the side of the eye. It look, had me looking a little Asian. I don't know. Is that racist? Probably. What can you do? I'm ugly. No one's looking at me anyway other than myself. So it's, if I'm racist, nobody's going to hear it. And it's just like I'm looking at myself. And above all those imperfections, it's the paleness and the slouching that disturbs me the most. The paleness, because those are two things I can work on. Actually, in the summertime, I do get a decent tan for the B-man. You look at how pale I am now. So when I say tan, you know, it's not everybody tan, but it's B-man tan. And I can have better posture. Like, I do exercises in the morning for my back, so... Yeah, I look in the mirror. That's why I don't look at myself in the mirror, because I see myself and I go, I do not want to start my day off looking at myself in the mirror. That is going to start the day off on the wrong foot. So I keep my head down like the respectful Japanese person I am, and I tiptoe into the shower, trying not to see my reflection through the mirror. Am I the only one? Any of you who have confidence in yourself. Now, I had a friend. I won't say his name. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. A very attractive guy. Handsome. Tall. Chiseled jaw. He worked out a lot at the gym. His day job was physical labor. And he had a very good body. You know, he had the V shape. He had he probably had a 4-pack of abs. And He had a 6-pack, but the bottom two, there was a little bit of fat over the bottom two, but the first four were like full cans of beer and, you know, full firm, you know, abs. But the bottom two, you could see them, but you had to focus to see them. And he would talk about those bottom two abs not being as defined as they should be. And I was always told, Chad, you are the perfect body. You are a specimen. You're not Statue of David. You're Statue of David if he had a box of a bag of Doritos. Not even the full size, like the family fun size bag. And that's a pretty good spot to be in 2025, or at the time 2020. But he would focus on that. There's those two bottom abs, and I always felt—I don't want to say I felt bad for him, but I was always perplexed. Like, everything else about you is pretty, and I've seen his dick too. He's hanging. He's got one that the babes would feel when erect, and I've seen him in the nude in the locker room. But he would focus on those two not so hard abs, defined abs. And I was just perplexed. Like, no, you got it. Like, you're one of the, the top 5%. You used to walk around with confidence. And do we all look in the mirror that way? Just look at the imperfections? Or I need to become more delusional. Right? How the B-man is on stage. On stage, I honestly believe I'm the funniest fucker in the world. If not the world, definitely in the room I'm in when I'm doing stand-up. And I really do have that delusion in my head. I need to bring a little bit of that moxie to me in the morning when I'm brushing my teeth, looking at myself in the mirror, so I can actually look at myself in the mirror. All right? Let's get back into something I found on Reddit, episode 111, 111. Should be easy to remember. Pen Pals, a subreddit for Pen Pals. 23, a female looking for Pen Pal. Hi there, I'm Emma from the US. I am looking for a Pen Pal to feel less lonely. I'm fine with anywhere. Right now, I've been reading a lot and watching TV because I don't have a job. I get chronic migraines and a very bad depression, so just need someone to talk to. I have two cats, Silas and Oliver. Also, I want to have a very great friend to talk to in my darkest days. My favorite books right now are self-help and about and also... Sorry. And also, I want to have a great friend to talk to in my darkest days. My favorite books right now are self-help and about autism. And I hope you guys see this post and respond. Well, Emma, I did both, right? I saw your post, and right now, the B-Man, I am going to respond to you, Emma. You probably won't hear this because no one does really hear verbal graffiti. But in this imaginary world I made up, I am going to respond to your post. Emma, you are going to have a challenging time finding a pen pal to write back and forth with you, because what you've done in your post is you backed up the truck and dumped all of your emotional and mental garbage onto Reddit for all of us to see. So it is going, any person who would be uplifting to you is already too scared to even fuck with you in the slightest bit. So if you do find a pen pal, it is not going to be the one who's going to help you. Anyone that could be helpful is too scared off by your paragraph. You pretty much dumped everything that's wrong with you. Depression, unemployed, autism, living with two cats, you get migraines, you can't go out in the sun. You are what, when people say wet blanket, Debbie Downer, they stepping on dog shit, you are all of that. All of those sayings, that this is who you are. And I question, Emma, whether you graduated high school or not. Did you not take English class? You said from the U.S., so I'm assuming you're American, you're 23, so you must have gone to high school. But did you pay attention in English class? When you're in high school, or maybe even middle school now, they teach you how to write a critical response. Now, we all know, all of us who have graduated high school in the U.S. know, when you're writing a critical, or you learn to write, when you write a critical email, you got to do it the sandwich. You need a simple sandwich. So you open up. So the two pieces of bread, right? The opening sentence of your email or your essay, you gotta come with something positive. So you gotta come. Let's say you're writing the B-Man, let's say I'm an employee of yours, the B-Man, I did something wrong. So you write me an email, letting me know. You open it up with, hey, a B-Man, we love. I love you as an employee. I love being able to see the bulge of Mr. Perfect when you wear those forest green Lululemon pants that you have on. Love that. Love everything about that. But then the meat of the sandwich, the meat, the turkey, the sausage of the sandwich is the critique you're trying to get across to me in this example. So yeah, love the bulge of your wiener in those Lululemon pants, but we have footage of you on the camera spitting in the patrons' cheeseburgers while you make them. We can't have that. Patrons are complaining. We have video footage of that. We need to work on that. You need to stop doing that ASAP. Okay, that's the meat of the sandwich, what you want to get across. And then you end the email with something pleasant, like saying, hey, B-Man, you're a valuable employee. I'm so happy you're on the team. I look forward to seeing you at tomorrow's shift at Wendy's. That's how you should have done your Reddit post asking for a new pen pal. You should have said, hey, I'm 23. I read a lot of books. I watch a lot of TV. You should have given some examples, right, to fill in the painting. Then you hit us in the middle real quickly. Two sentences. I'm a little bit depressed. I'm lonely. I haven't recovered since COVID. And sometimes I get I get migraines. And then you end it with, I'm a joy to talk to. Would love to hear about your life and your story. Here's my contact info. Let's hook up via being pen pals anywhere in the world. But you did not do that. You just hit us with everything that's wrong with you and your life and your environment. And the B-Man, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I understand life, right? Life is difficult. For you, a 23-year-old, and for me as a failing comedian, as a 40-year-old, it is difficult for me as well. All these people, all these people in Gaza who are these displaced people whining and bitching and trying to get trying to get attention via social media. All our homes and our buildings are in crumbled because they got bombed by Israel. But, you know, I'm not going to say the country. That'll probably get me demonetized. But, you know, like, our land is just completely destroyed. Our lives are over. And it's like, dude, like, I don't have time for your bullshit, right? Like, I have problems in my own life. You understand, the B-Man, my hands are dry. I want to Stop and Shop, a grocery store nearby. And I was looking for, what was I looking? What is that? It's coconut oil. I was looking for, coconut butter to moisturize my hands. So I was looking through all these little cans, containers of coconut butter. They all said 100% coconut butter. But then I turned it over to look at the ingredients. And there'd be like 15 ingredients listed. And the B-Man, I'm looking at the bottle of coconut butter at the front. It says 100% coconut butter. But then I turn it over and the ingredients listed, there's 15 of them. So how can you be 100% coconut butter when there's 15 ingredients? And I walk away. I walk out of Stop and Shop just thinking, how can I trust anybody in this world? Like, if I can't trust coconut butter to be honest with me about what coconut butter is, how can I trust a human being? How could I be able to trust a pen pal? So I get where you're coming from with your loneliness and your migraines and your depression. It's like, yeah, we were all just walking around like, this ain't right. Whatever's going on in life right now, it ain't right. Something's got to change. I have empathy for the situation you're in. Absolutely not, though. Will not be your pen pal. Because I cannot be your pen pal. Because I see that paragraph. And you list your problems. And that is the problem. Because you want somebody to listen to your problems. But I get the sense you're not going to reciprocate and listen to somebody else and help somebody else with their problems. Because this is the type of person you are, Emma. You know, you go to your gas station, you ask the attendant there, hey, can I please have a pack of American Spirits, please? And then the Indian working at the gas station says, yeah, no problem. How's your day going? Just to be polite. But you're the type of person, Emma, that takes that polite question you're not supposed to answer with anything other than that, it's going okay. And you actually take the time to answer the question. So while he gives you the American Spirit, you're talking to him. When he asks you how your day's going, you actually answer the question. And you tell him about your depression. You tell him about your two cats and how you can't afford medical care for them and how they don't eat their cat food and how your apartment smells like poop because you can't afford garbage bags and all that bullshit. And then you start, you're talking to him for 10 minutes. You haven't even gone past the first chapter of your shitty life and how... you know, you're not able to depend on anybody because your mom wouldn't breastfeed you, that greedy wench. And by the time you haven't even gotten to first grade of your story yet, that there's already 10 patrons lined up behind you to pay for gas and bugles and American Spirits for themselves. And they're frustrated with you because you're actually having a real conversation with the Indian working at the gas station when he didn't want to talk to you. He was just trying to be polite. He was trying not to get fired. But like, that's the type of person you are. Like, you don't understand the subtleties of life, of a small talk, that sandwich conversation. It's frustrating because I do want to be your pen pal. Because when you say who you are, Right? Emma, you're a babe, a 23-year-old, unemployed, a low self-esteem babe. That is the demographic the B-man is going after. I would love nothing more than to become your pen pal and to actually, I want to groom you. I want to separate you from your family and your friends, and you only listen to me and you only spend your time with me. But like, I know how it's going to turn out, and it's not the type of grooming I want to do, because I'm going to listen to all your problems, but when I dump my emotional baggage onto you, like when I tell you, I did stand up last night, I bombed, I got booed at, my reels that I put on TikTok and Instagram, they got pulled down because I went against the code of conduct for, you know, whatever, so they took it down, and it's 6 a.m., I've been gooning for the last 7 hours, and I see the sun rising, can you help me out? You're not going to be able to help me out, because all you want to talk about when we pen pal via WhatsApp are your problems. You're not going to give me solutions to my problems, because you're so deep in your own problems, you can't help anybody else. So that's why, the B-man, Emma, I will not be your pen pal, and life is not looking up for you. But we thank you for, you know, listening to Verbal Graffiti, and let's go look at some photos. Episode 111, segment 2. Remember to share an episode, a segment, a reel of Verbal Graffiti with a dog owner, a dog lover, a lover of animals, a lover of humans, a lover of plants. Actually, do not share a reel of Verbal Graffiti with plant lovers. Plant lovers, and when I say plant lover, I say I'm thinking outdoor plant lover, people who go to national parks and take photos of trees and tree huggers. Don't share Verbal Graffiti with tree huggers. We don't want tree huggers being part of this project. Plant lovers, indoor plants, I fuck with those. Share episode 111, segment 2 with those indoor plant lovers. But outdoors, they can go fuck themselves. You know else who can also go fuck themselves, and not physically, just more mentally fuck themselves, is anybody, any adults who eats Oreos? I don't respect you. I don't need any. There's no other way for me to say it other than to give you a look of contempt that would tell you quite clearly with my eyes that I don't respect you. If you're an adult eating Oreos as a snack, there are some snacks you need to leave behind in childhood. You cannot be having Oreos post 25 years of age. Now, if it's one with your children, fine. You know, every rule has a, what do they call it? Every rule has one thing you do to break it in the English language kind of thing. Same thing with Oreo. If you have children and your child dips one in milk, so you dip one to have a moment with your child. When I see that, you're sharing a moment with your child, with your loved one, more so than eating the Oreo for the Oreo's sake. But if you're alone or with other adults without any children around and you get the 6-pack of Oreo and you take it and you're dipping it in milk or you're twisting it apart in a restaurant, a bar, or on a park bench, like, I will give you the stink eye. They'll let you know that I have no respect for you. Oreos, that's a child's game. It's because eating an Oreo is an activity. You don't just eat it. You turn it apart. You dip it in a liquid, usually milk. If you're one of those weirdos, maybe syrup. But that there's too much that goes into eating that kind of snack for it to be an adult snack. So, I can't fuck with you if you're an Oreo consumer. Same thing with Doritos. Doritos, it's fine. It's fine if you're 15, high school lunch, it's fine if you're eating Doritos. But if you're over the age of 30 and you're at the workplace and you eat the Doritos. It's not so much the Doritos that you eat. It's the sucking. Because you know, when you eat the Dorito, you get the fake chemical cheese, whatever that stuff is. You lick it off your fingers. And you're sucking your thumb in your with a worker right next to you. That gives me the heebie-jeebies. And that's the type of thing where we could be best friends. If you eat Oreos, I won't tell your eulogy at your funeral because you're a Dorito eater, right? And you suck your thumb to get the cheese off in public. Like, I'll go to your funeral out of respect. And actually, it's not out of respect. It's out of peer pressure. I will go to the funeral because of peer pressure. But it will not be out of respect because you cannot respect an adult who eats Doritos and or Oreos as a snack as an adult. I'll go one further. Having a snack, that an unhealthy snack, midday or late night as an adult. No, that's wrong. I'm talking this out loud, so my apologies for not having it completely succinct. Late night snack as an adult, A-okay, I'm cool with that. B-man, I will fuck with you. A midday, mid-morning snack as an adult, no go. That's childish. That is below you. You should not be doing that. Anybody who's, I need a 11 a.m. snack. I need some empty calories to get me to lunch. The respect meter goes down, right? It goes down. You lose power in my eyes. I can't have any of that. No. Will not have that in my life. That comes from somebody who just ate a black and white cookie yesterday, midday lunch. All right, I'm going to help Maui out, then I'll be right back. Again, co-host, I'm doing everything. I'm moving chairs. I'm petting dogs. I'm chastising snack eaters. That's what we do here at Verbal Graffiti. Open the door for him, and now he comes right back, getting his fur all over. How you doing? You should have seen Maui in the backyard today, because our backyard, there's snow, and it's completely ice on top because it's 20 degrees out, and he was slipping and sliding. I was worried he was going to break his leg, but it was so cute seeing him slide on the ice, not being able to get a grip. All right. Back to Verbal Graffiti. All right, let's get to the last segment of episode 111. Comes from the subreddit, women. My husband thinks that I should not fear walking alone at night. I have a fear of walking alone or going to a place like stores at night. My husband thinks I'm exaggerating my feelings, which has made me really angry. Recently, he mentioned to a 45-year-old woman and two men at work that his wife, me, age 29, is too scared to walk alone. They all giggled. Does anyone else fear walking alone at night? I live in a safe area, but that doesn't change the fact that I am a woman and could be seen as an easy target. Well, 29-year-old wife, woman, you will not see the B-man ever giggling at you for being fearful of walking at night because you are absolutely within your right to have a fear of walking at night, even in a safe area. Because I know that because I have the same fear you have. And I am not a 29-year-old damsel in distress. I am a full-grown man. But when I walk at night, like I do stand up, I'm walking on a city street alone, and there's somebody near me, I have a constant fear that I'm going to be attacked. All right, that's why I walk strategically. So I have an old car that still has a key, like the sharp key that you have to stick in the ignition. So I will have that in my right pocket with my hand on the key so that like the actual key I could use it as a stabbing device, right? I could use it as a knife, a quick like sharp to stab them in the gut if I get attacked. And I'll have my left hand out of my pocket, weather permitted. And I won't have it in a fist, but I'm ready to get in a fist. Okay. Stab punch. Like I got that motion ready if I get attacked. Because I, even though I am a man, I'm really only a man in genetics only. All right? I have the XX chromosome, but I'm 160 pounds. I have noodle arms. I can't bench my own weight. I don't know how to throw a punch. I've never done any MMA training. The only masculine thing I can do is shoot a free throw. And that's not going to help me if I get attacked on the street. So if I'm scared, you are totally within your right as a female to be scared to walk alone at night. That is a complete, that's not, I have a fear of clowns. That is irrational. Your fear of walking alone at night, that is completely rational, 100%. I question your husband and his coworkers for giggling at you, and we will get to them. We will get to them and chastise them. But on to the, like, I'm so in my head about the fear of being attacked at night that I fear other people fearing me as a potential attacker. So we've all had this thing where you're walking on a sidewalk and you're walking behind somebody, but the two of you are walking at the same pace. And if this is at night, it's dark, and you're walking the same pace for a while, or even you take a turn and then you also take the same turn. There have been plenty of times whenever I'm in that situation where the two of us, especially if it's a lady, or sorry, a babe, and we're walking the same pace, where I actually want to yell out to her, like, hey, I am not going to attack you. I am just going to that bar or restaurant or club or parking lot or that store. Like, we just happen to be going the same way. I have no nefarious intentions. I just want to make that clear. So if you are scared that the B-man is a potential, burglar or a robber or I'm going to mug you. Nope, I am a pussy. I am a good citizen. I drive the speed limit. You don't have to worry about me. Others, perhaps, but not me. And even, I heard somebody, somewhere online, there was a babe saying that she feels threatened when she gets cornered, like when a guy will talk to her, she meets a new guy and he's talking to her, but like she's in a corner and there's no way to escape. So I kind of internalize that. So whenever I do stand up, and there'll be times where I talk to audience members after a show, and if it happens to be a babe and she's in a corner at a bar, I will strategically make it so that I'm not like physically trapping her in the corner of that setting. Like, I always make sure if I'm talking to a babe, even if it's a friend I know, like another comic or female girlfriend, I'll always make sure there's a way where like she doesn't feel trapped. And so that's how in my head I am about potential malevolent characters that will rob you or mug you your phone or even worse, sexually assault you. There's actually a lot of talk in like stand-up comedy circles that why aren't there more female comics, babes doing stand-up? And I honestly think one of the reasons why might be because a lot of times you got to walk late at night alone from the venue to the parking lot to get late at night in not so safe neighborhoods. So I could totally see a lot of babes might say, well, I would love to do stand-up, but I don't want to walk alone at night. And once you start doing comedy, like you realize a lot of open mic comics, perverted, weirdos, autistic, don't really understand communication, nonverbal language. They're just a bunch of weirdos. So a lady's not going to ask one of the male comics to walk her to her car. That might be one of the reasons why there aren't as many female comics maybe as there should be. That's just an aside. Also, one time I was in New Haven. My buddy Ben, who's a great comic, his mom was at our show watching it. And afterwards, we were all chopping it up. And they were smoking a cig, some of the comics and Ben's mom. And Ben's mom had to leave. Her car was parked around the corner. And she asked, hey, can some of you walk me to my car? It's just around the corner. And no, there was no question. Like three or four, I was like, oh, yeah, we'll walk you to your car. And even though it was just around the corner, That's the point. It's just all it takes is one guy out of the shadows, and you can have PTSD for the rest of your life. What would your husband? And we brought Ben's mom to her car, like walked her, because we know, we're downtown New Haven. It's not the safest area. So, yeah, of course we're going to help a lady alone to her car. That's the gentlemanly thing to do. But the thing is, even if it's just one block, right, you get once somebody mugs you or tries to sexually assault you, is your husband, is he going to be giggling if you come home with a black eye and you tell him you got to go to the police station because you got to get one of those sexual assault kits? Do you think he's going to be giggling with his coworkers if that happens and you have to get therapy the rest of your life? I think not. And that's why, sister, you got the wrong man. You got to divorce your husband. Any guy who's not willing to even empathize with your fear of walking alone at night is not the man for you, right? He's supposed to protect and serve you as your husband. Well, he's not. What husband won't go with his wife to Target after 8 p.m. when it's dark? Like, if I was your husband and you had this fear, I would always go out with you to just to make sure you had a gentleman with you, even one with the noodly arms. So your husband, you chose the wrong man to marry. That's on you. Your husband and his coworkers are on the wrong for giggling at you. And just take solace in the fact that even there are Johns among us, among you females, that are also scared while walking alone late at night. Let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. I think we're on the top of page 91. Hold on. Are we 91 or? Yes, yes. Top of 91, we will read two pages together aloud if you are reading along. I want you, Alan mooled excitedly as Maui comes into the picture. I want to fuck the living daylights out of you. Oh, then do it, lover, do it, she cried, driven to the point of quaking lust by his thrusting finger strokes. Slowly, she pulled away from him as he eased his finger out of her stretched and steaming hole. She then moved quickly toward the mirror she had installed on the wall and knelt down, dog fashion, facing it. Damn, Alan thought. What the hell's she up to? Her shimmering buttocks waved at him lewdly, a vulgar invitation to be taken from the rear. Christ, he thought. She wants me to take her from behind and watch it in the mirror. She's incredible. For a brief moment, he was somewhat disturbed by her actions, for he had never met anyone so bizarre and shameless in his life. But after the initial shock, he found himself eagerly anticipating the vile act. Once again, she was calling forth darker animal instincts within him, and he liked it. Fuck me from behind, she screamed. Sink that cock of yours right into my pussy. At her lewd words, Alan exploded with raging passion. He moved to her like a panting beast, his penis purplish red from excitement. The veins along the length of his swollen tulle were fully outlined, and his balls trembled with lust. He positioned himself behind her and placed his pulsing, ruddy cockhead at the entrance of her pussy, ready to slice inward. The mirror could hardly believe what he beheld. He was like someone else. He looked like a satyr or a demon, potent and obscene beyond the wildest dreams. He was overwhelmed by what he saw, and raw power filled his body. He wanted to tear her apart with his cock, tear to shreds with his incredible power. Shove it in me, baby, she screamed, her head thrown back, her green eyes swimming with passion, her blonde hair fanning wildly out over her shoulders. Now, with a deep, savage growl, Alan shoved his massive cock all the way into her tight, cuntal sheath, sinking up to the hilt till the wide base of his cock slammed against the curling outer lips of her vaginal entrance. Wet, slicing sounds filled the air, exciting them both. Oh, oh, she moaned. You feel so good. So good. He began to move his cock in and out of her, slowly at first, as tantalizing ripples of pleasure washed through his body. Stella pumped back his exact timing to his lurid strokes, her vaginal walls growing moist and wide and clutching hungrily at his lust-inflamed ramrod. Go suck a fat one.